Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today. Thank you so much for listening. Donald Trump's lewd talk on that video continues to impact the presidential race. The first poll that came out after the tape's release was an NBC Wall Street Journal poll on Monday. It showed Hillary Clinton pulling ahead by 11 percentage points. That's her biggest lead over Donald Trump since this campaign began. Now, that's a small poll, and it's only one poll, and it doesn't take Sunday's debate into account. But there's no way it's good for Donald Trump. Later in the show, we're going to talk about the language that Donald Trump used in that video and how men, when they're alone, often speak in ways that excludes and, in this case, victimizes women. But meanwhile, civics and government classes in schools all across America are following this election, and teachers find themselves standing in front of students who are consuming an election with candidates unlike any they ever remember seeing before. Sometimes there are students who feel they're the target of anti-immigrant or anti-Muslim rhetoric. It's also a safe bet that roughly half of all classes are girls who are watching the race right alongside boys who are consuming the campaign too. It's a teaching challenge. We spoke with two educators before school started this morning. John Dixon is a government teacher at Monomoy Regional High School in Harwich, Massachusetts on Cape Cod. He's been a teacher for about 25 years now. And Joy Bach, an eighth grade social studies teacher in the Groveport Madison School District in Columbus, Ohio.
Hello.
John Dixon, you have high school students. How have you been teaching this election so far?
Well, we've been teaching this election like we teach every election, in terms of trying to help the students have context to the election and helping them understand both sides of a campaign and people who choose on either side of an election.
Joy Bach, you've got younger students who probably understand an election like this on a different level than the older kids.
They do. They are very much different. You know, it's not always put into perspective to them. Voting seems so far down the road. So to really engage them and put it into perspective is always a challenge.
All right. So that all sounds pretty familiar to me. John Dixon, you said you make an effort to teach both sides to these students. But then right there, I start to kind of raise an eyebrow, because so much about this election, and I've covered a lot of them, is different, really different from any past election. Now, you took your students to a Trump rally earlier this year, and I want to start there because there's so much about the language and the strategy of this election that the country hasn't seen in a long time, a very long time.
Yes. So I took a group of students to the Iowa caucuses and attended 12 rallies while we were there, candidates of both parties. And we did get a chance to attend a Trump rally. And it happened to be the Trump rally where he encouraged his the audience to attack any protester and that he would pay their legal costs. So we did have a front row seat at some of harsh elements of this campaign. But in terms of giving context, to understand the campaign, for example, we talk about the 1994 election, the restriction of the federal government that was promised then, and then in some people's minds was betrayed by the Bush administration, and how this resentment helped lay the groundwork for the Tea Party movement and today the Trump campaign.
So there's a great deal of context there, frankly, that I don't see in a lot of media reporting about the phenomena that led to the Trump campaign in the first place.
I think that's, part of the nature of being a social studies teacher in middle or high school is that we, first of all, have the luxury of time in terms of having students all year. And that's certainly part of our job to help them understand what's going on today in relation to what's happened before.
Joy Bach, we can't get around in this election some of the language that's been spoken, not only in tapes that we've seen in the last few days that are completely inappropriate, I would take it, for your students, but also language about immigrants, language about religious groups and Muslims. Can you give me a sense of how your younger students process what they see on the news and what they take to class?
They process a lot of it right at heart. I mean, it touches them deeply. I have a young girl whose family has immigrated from Peru. She broke my heart one day. She's 14 years old, scared to death, because her parents have told her if Trump wins, they're going to need to leave to be safe. And so now that's said in the middle of my classroom with 30 other students sitting around looking like, is she really not going to be safe? And so it has had a greater impact on them, I think, during this election than any other election. They haven't heard this type of harsh tone. The things we in eighth grade are still telling them, be kind to one another, don't, you know, make fun of others. And they're seeing it now done by a level of person that they were told that, you know, you should have the utmost respect for. So it is very different and has made for difficult conversations.
And how do the students themselves react? I mean, they know that there's a dissonance here. They know what the right thing is to do. You've told them, and their parents tell them to treat others with respect and don't make fun of other people or exclude them. They see a presidential campaign that is often the opposite of that. Do they voice and vocalize how confusing that can be?
They do vocalize how confusing it can be. Yesterday was Columbus Day. Many students had off. We of course, did not. We had school. And, you know, first words out of their mouth before I could, you know, was good morning for me, but out of their mouth was, did you see the tapes this weekend? And I'm like, no, don't, please don't repeat any of the words. But, you know, it was top of their priority. So regardless of the lesson I had planned, that kind of took precedent for the moment to connect to what's going on and to tie it into the Electoral College conversation we were getting ready to have. So it has really impacted their lives. I see them paying much closer attention this election. Eighth graders are kind of sometimes hard to engage into an election. 4 years down the road to vote seems so far off to them, but this has really taken their attention.
John Dixon, you talked a little bit earlier about how you teach the background and the political road to how we got to this point, particularly as it stands now in the Republican Party. That's the big transition going on at the moment in American politics. How do you teach the birther phenomenon to your students, and how do they react to it?
It's a good example. I mean, it's in many ways it's reprehensible, and there's no way to teach it without emphasizing the counterfactual nature of the argument. But one of the things we point out is that the seed is a law in Hawaii that makes birth certificates not public record. So that lack of public record is what allows the beginnings of a conspiracy to come about. But it turns out we've been reading the Constitution in the last week, and one thing we discovered or we pointed out is that even if the president wasn't born in the United States, as long as he was born a citizen, he's eligible to be president. So regardless of where he was born, unless people argue that his mother wasn't his mother, he's eligible to be president.
And do you get into some of the darker motivations or some of the more insidious implications of the birther phenomenon that go back to 2011? I mean, really, for adults, behind all this is an idea that the first black president can't possibly be a real American and can't be one of us.
Absolutely. We do talk about racism. It's a very important part of our class and our discussion to talk about racism, to talk about the bias that was behind many people's motivations in an issue like the birther phenomena. And I think events like Colin Kaepernick's protest and the many athletes and celebrities that have responded to that gives us a great window to talk about race in the modern context.
So, Joy Bock, let's word associate just for a moment if we can, because I'm so interested in how your eighth grade students kind of process the characters in this election. If I were to sort of open it up to impressions, one word answers with your kids and say Hillary Clinton, what would be some of the most likely answers I would get back?
They think she's nicer. She seems organized to them. She seems to have answers to them as compared to, I'll skip to the other side, Trump, where they seem to think he's angry, he's mean, he's, you know, not kind to others, he makes enemies, he's degrading. It's becoming in my classroom a very good, bad situation. But in the eighth grade mindset, that's often how they relate things, good and bad, and, you know, not to the level of high school students yet.
Do they associate dishonesty with Hillary Clinton in the way that so many voters seem to?
You know what, the students don't really see the dishonesty that the adult voters seem to be holding on to. They realize she made a mistake, but they're so tech savvy and they use their phones and things every day of their life. They understand how mistakes can be made with technology, and they don't see it as a big deal and as being dishonest as the adults of the country do.
Now, John Dixon, how long have you been teaching?
This is my 20th year in this district.
Well, that would mean, if I'm subtracting 20, that you started teaching right around 1996. I mean, you were teaching back in 1998 then, when President Bill Clinton had a major confrontation with Republicans over his own sexual behavior, and it's the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yes, that actually was my first year in this district. Was the year of the of that scandal and the later trial, and it was certainly a challenge. And that was my first exercise in speaking in euphemisms in class, and having to discuss what was in the news and being sensitive to students' sensibilities as far as what we can and can't discuss in class.
I'm going to predict, John Dixon, that you're going to have another exercise in euphemism in class today when the students come back.
That is true.
How's that going to work?
The students certainly, they will understand what has happened probably pretty thoroughly. And I think what they'll want is a chance to have some space to react to it and to deconstruct it. And that, I think, is going to be our exercise for the day.
John Dixon, government teacher at Monomoy Regional High School in Harwich, Massachusetts. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Joy Bach, thanks to you.
Thank you.
Joy Bach is an 8th grade social studies teacher at Groveport Madison School in the swing state of Ohio.